look pretty warm. I've done you a treat this morning. Since you all look so warm, let's get that going and get meeting going. Share a screen. Let's get over here. Okay, play. Le voilà. You don't look fresher. Oh, you've got, some of you have got shorts on. I forgot that. Well, that's why I have a shirt and tie and all the thing, because I don't want to be, I don't want to be old. But anyway, that's your chapel, our chapel, the chapel at Christmas time. Nice and fresh out there. And okay, presentation notes. Okay. Select, play. Oh, wow. I think we're ready to rock and roll. I'm ready to go. So, yes, I'm so excited. I'm so excited to be here today. And that's the truth. I don't always say that, because sometimes I have subjects that I find it very hard, difficult. And so, but today I have something new. And I'm not here to preach. I'm not here. Not really to teach. I'm just going to share a few thoughts. It's a little different message this morning. When I was asked to speak, it was a free topic. And that's easy for me, because I can use a sermon I preached last week. Oh, no, I didn't say that, did I? But anyway, I have something more familiar. But I asked for the, I like punishment. And I was told that you're going to be studying Judges on August the 27th, and I actually asked if I could open it. That's like shooting yourself in the foot. But I had so much fun, so much enjoyment studying Judges in the last couple of weeks. And I have impregnated my mind. For instance, over and over and over, I have listened to it. And I've got all these resources. If you want any of them, we're going to go over these papers I've given you. This is not the Bible, though. You've got the Bible on your lap. So this is not the Word of God. There could be mistakes on there. There's no mistakes in the Bible, but there could be on there. But that's just to help us. But see, now listen to this. I'm going to share this with you just for a couple of seconds.
Asher and from all Manasseh, and they pursued after Midian.
Put that up.
Gideon sent messengers throughout all the hill country of Ephraim, saying, "Come down against the Midianites and capture the waters against them, as far as Beth Bera and also the Jordan."
Now, why I'm showing you that
the men of Ephraim were
is because you can get all of this free. But what we're going to be talking about today is in Judges, we're going to go over it about five times, five different times, different words: sin, suffering, sorrow, and salvation. When Jesus is not in control of your life, when you know Jesus, praise God, you know him, and you're not walking in his way, you're going to be suffering and you're going to have sorrow. But if you do know Jesus, that's what it is. I know more unhappy people in the world, and there are many of them are Christians, because they're not being obedient. But you know, we have so many resources to help us in our way. Now here, for instance, is one of them. There's the audio which you just listened to. Now they have that in King James, they have in the New, they have all these different translations. So whatever tickles your favor, you can listen to it. And as I said, there's been 2 weeks now, I have impregnated my mind with it. I have trouble with the words. Je parle français, je parle espagnol, I took 3 years of Greek and Hebrew, but I speak nothing right. I'm dyslexic, I passed on trial in grade 2, 4, and 6, and flunked grade 8 twice. I finally got my doctorate, but that's only from, not from brains. So I need help. And these things help me with all these words, all the names. And you're going to say, "Cape, it's so boring, all the names." No. Judges is an exciting book. And this one here is very good. It's called The Bible Project. And if you've got your phone, take a picture of this one if you want. And when you go home, listen to it. It is fantastic. It's about 7 minutes long, and it goes right through the whole book of Judges. And if you listen to that 10 times, you're going to get in your mind. Judges is a terrible book. That's not the terminology. I'm looking for the right word. It's a book that's, I can't use that word either. I'm so animated over it, but it's a very gory book. Okay, I'll use that word. I think I can get away with that one here. I don't want to, Andrew's probably checking the words I'm using. It's an animated, it's a book that's very terrifying. It's a book that's very, there's a lot of blood, a lot of killing. 10,000 killed here and 30,000 killed there and 20,000. It's terrible in that sense. And you're going to say, but why read it? Well, remember what Timothy said? All scripture is inspired by God. And if you were here this morning, I was sitting right there, and our brother shared something from Leviticus. And now Leviticus is a very hard book to study too. But he picked out a gem. He picked out a diamond, not a pearl, but a diamond that's going to keep my mind. And I'm going home, I'm going to study on it. But in this book, you're going to find, if you get into it and study it and really get metido, we say in Spanish, if you get involved, if you get involved in it, you are going to be blessed. So I think you should start looking forward to the 27th of August. And I'm invited to Thanksgiving Day. Maybe you don't. I mean, yeah. And if you want me to speak on Judges, there's a lot of things to thank God for in Judges. So when you get home, look up Bible Project, YouTube, Bible Project, and you'll have a wonderful time going through that. And that's what it looks like. It looks like a bunch of scribbling, but wow, it is so exciting to see how God works in spite of you and me, in spite of the Israelites, in spite of those in Judah. The Midianites and the Edomites, all of these tribes and everything, God's working in them. And there's so many applications. We're going to finish this little time together with some applications. But as you go through it, you're going to be blessed, really blessed. So again, it's the whole cycle in this book from chapter 1 right to the end of the book. It's sin. They fall into sin. They do what God doesn't want them to do. And then they get into servitude. We're going to use different words, but they get into slavery. And then they start crying to God. And then they get salvation. Yay! But then what happens? Sin again. Servitude again. Sorrow again. Salvation again. Over and over and over. And it's interesting to see. It's a book that you're going to really enjoy. This book is about a particular period in Israel's history, a period when the Israelites were led by people called judges. They weren't having kings. And I think I can say this word, theocracy. Theocracy. Is that French, Spanish, or English? I don't know. But anyway, that meant that these judges, though involved in some political judicial matters, were primarily God's instruments to deliver his people. They were warriors. They were fighting men. They were soldiers, but they were called judges. You with me? So they didn't have kings at that time. And they were governed by these people, but really, overall, God was in control. He was supposed to be in control. They didn't have a king. Jesus, God was king. This meant that no matter who led the people, the Lord alone was their king. And as a nation's leader, God raised up a number of judges between Joshua. Remember this one, we're going to repeat it over and over. Between Joshua, remember Joshua? Joshua at the Battle of Jericho. Remember that song? I won't sing it because you all go out and because I can't sing. But it's all from Joshua right up to the coronation of Saul. That's the period of time. And we're going to go over some of these in these sheets. And I'd encourage you to take these home, look at them, bring them back on the 27th, bring them back on the Sunday after the 27th, whatever that is, and then the Sunday after, and read through this and follow along with the different people who will be speaking on Judges. It'll give you a good concept of what's happening. So after these judges, Saul was coronated king and then became a monarchy. Okay? We're with me? Good, okay. Now the judges. There were 15 judges. I'm not going to name them all because I probably can't. But there was 15 judges. And Othniel, O-T-H-N-E-I-L, Othniel, was the first judge that came after Joshua. After Joshua came into the land of promise and he died, this fella, Othniel, became the first judge. And the last judge, according to a lot of people, were Samuel. Yes, him. Okay, you with me? Now, some people don't feel that he was a judge, but you can read it and come up with your own idea. Saul was the first king of the United Israel. After him, the house of Saul continued to reign. David was the heir of Saul, and then Saul, and so on. So the book of Judges tells of the various leaders that were chosen by God to lead his people against their enemies. And it's a very interesting period of time. And when you start studying it and having different preachers on it, you are going to be blessed like I have been blessed just looking at it. So let's look at that first sheet very quickly. Take a look at it. Again, this is not the Bible, but it's just maybe help you to get a grip of Judges, and that it'll animate you to get into it. I mean, when you're sitting on the beach next week, take this out and read it. Or like I'm coming here this morning, I listened to it from my radio, from my phone. And when I went to the beach this week on English Bay, I was sitting in the sun just enjoying it, and I had my ear pod here, and I was listening to it. There's so many interesting things happening in this whole book. But here you have a picture of from where it started and when it ended, the period of the judges. And you can see that King Saul up in the top right-hand corner, you'll see on your papers there, King Saul. And you people out in Zoom land, if you want these, I will send them to you by email. I have them all digitally. And I apologize to you young people here. So much paper, I know. If I did this in some of the assemblies, some of the churches, I'd probably get crucified because, I mean, you really should do it all digitally, but we all don't have it. But anyway, so here you have it here. You have an idea of the period of the judges. You have King Saul, who was the first king. You see on the very, before Othniel, before him was Joshua. And you can go through this and you'll get the names and you've got the judges, the period of time they ruled, the period of time that God used them, and where they ruled. This one is another very interesting chart. It shows exactly the years of oppression, the years of peace. And, you know, this is all, you can apply this spiritually in so many different ways. Every time that the people of God turn away from God, they got in trouble. And it's just like you and me. Every time I do something against God's will, bang, he gives me a real kick in the head. And sometimes that's good for us. The word is goading in the King James Version. The Holy Spirit goads us. He animates us. He pushes us. He encourages us. And that is so important. And we find the people of God in the time of Judges, every time they got away from God, they got into trouble. But here you have 12 of them here anyway, down to Samson, which we'll talk about later on. And you've got Gideon down there. You've got Deborah. You've got the tribe that they were from, which is very interesting. Then it gives you the identification, the enemy, the years of oppression, the years of peace, and a reference biblically. So you're going to have fun. You could take one of those a week. There you got 12 weeks of study there. And then when you come on the 27th and the person is speaking, you can get more and more and more interest in this particular subject. So there was other minor judges, individuals about whom little is known apart from their names. Most of the judges did not rule over all of Israel, because Deborah didn't do some where Reuben did. You'll find that in there. I'm not going to go in it and steal the thunder of some of the preachers that are going to be preaching after the 27th. But you'll find out when you're studying it that each person didn't necessarily rule the way they were supposed to be. Again, the fourfold cycle of sin. You have disobedience. You have judgment. You have repentance. You have deliverance. And the nice thing about it all, it's the same for us. As we said this morning, when we goof, when we make a mistake, when we sin, when we go to the left, or we go to the right, or we stay behind God, or we run ahead of God, that's sin. And if we confess that, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So when we disobey, and God judges us, that's why things happen in our life, that God is saying, hey, Ron, hey, come on back to me. Come on back. You went to the left. Come to the right a bit. Come. That's it. You're right. Sometimes we have. Isn't that wonderful? People don't like the Ten Commandments. They said, well, we're not under the law. I know we're not under the law, but it's like a measuring stick, I guess, or a ruler, whatever you call it. It's something at least we can try. T-R-Y, try. To follow. And in Judges here, you'll find that over and over again. So there we have the whole cycle, the fourfold cycle of the people of Israel. Dates, Samuel. And then we have the next chart. And this is very interesting also. This gives you a good idea of the dates again in a different format. Anything to help us get it. You have pre-Israel time. You have the going through Canaan, and then they get to the promised land. Joshua dies, God brings in the judges, and then for 300 years, 3 centuries, the people are under the rule of judges. And you have the division there. You have, it's a very good chart. We used to use these a lot when I was younger, and I haven't used them for years, but when I was thinking of judges, I was thinking of the bondage, I was thinking of the judges, United Kingdom, when Israel and Judah came together under Saul, and then David. Oh, it was so exciting, so exciting. And these charts, I hope, will help you get through this. Jewish tradition says that Samuel, the last judge, wrote the book of Judges. Again, I can't say that for sure, but reading 4 or 5 commentaries, listening to 4 or 5 different messages, a lot of people think Samuel, S-A-M-U-E-L, Samuel, was the last judge, and he wrote the book of Judges. This may be or may not be true, but the frequent comment, in those days Israel had no king, in chapter 17, verse 6, refers to their think the way Samuel would have said it. So just a thought. Again, be good if you could come up with your own idea and ask God to help you. And as you study it, you can come back and say, well, I think it was not Samuel. I feel it was so-and-so. And give a reason why you believe that. That'll help you to understand the book. The map is very important. I know in the back of our Bibles we used to have maps, and you can get all this on internet, but it's good too because it talks about all of these different tribes, the Ammonites, the Moabites, and it's very interesting. And when you listen to it on video, on YouTube, and you follow along on the map, you can see that. You see where they came up the valley, and they came over the mountains and into the plains, and the So interesting. So interesting. And that'll help you. During this time, Egypt's power and influence became to sort of become flojo, we say flow. It wavers. And the Assyrians were so preoccupied with other matters that they exercised only a marginal influence in the region of southern of Lebanon. So, I mean, the Egyptians were out of Judges. They were busy with something else, occupied with something else. So they didn't pay too much attention to what was going on. So that's why Egypt isn't really in this map, because very little is mentioned about them in the book of Judges. But military, they were all of these different Amorites and the Edomites and the Moabites and they all had huge armies. I mean, and that's why I said this book is, it should be, you wouldn't really want children to read it. I can see why some people think, why is there so much killing? Why is there so much bloodshed? Why is there so much animosity? Why is there so much battles going on? And this person kills 32,000, and then there's Gideon, and then, I mean, there's so much going on. But you're going to enjoy reading it and figuring it all out. I mean, there's things on television, but I think this would be a very interesting series on television. Again, the book of Judges. The people sin, doing what they saw fit in their own eyes. God delivered them from Egypt. They were in the desert. God gave them the promised land, and they were with God. They were doing work. Boom, they sin. Now, we're going to find out why. And it's the same way in my life and your life, in all of our lives. If we leave just a little bit of sin in our life, it grows like cancer. And see, the people of Israel were supposed to get rid of all of the sin in their life. They weren't, for instance, to marry the nations that weren't people of God. They were, we use the word unequally yoked. And that happens today over and over again. And of course, I have to be careful because I've been married 57 years and I'm still in my lune de miel. I'm still in my honeymoon. Don't ask my wife that question, though. Eh? But you understand what I mean. So I married a Christian girl that I was sure that that's what God wanted me to do. And we've had a beautiful life where if we go outside of the family of God and you're a person of God and you're a child of God, it says in the word of God that we are not to be unequally yoked. It was the same thing with the Israelites. I don't understand it, but they were to liquidate. I think they would get rid of these people from their land. They weren't allowing them to live in their land. And yet they allowed to. So then they started worshiping their gods. Then they intermarried. Then they had children. And then it just went downhill all the time. And the people, because of going against God's will, because of not doing what God wanted to do them, the people experienced problems, troubles, says it right there in pink. The people cried out to God, which is good, for help. And God sent judges to help them. And when the judges came in and they fixed up the mess, they were going great with God, judges died, boom, they went downhill again. And I can't judge him because I think we have to be careful ourselves. It says in the Bible, he who stands, be careful he doesn't fall. And we don't want to do that. The narrative in the book underscores the truth that disregard for God brought oppression. And that a broken spirit brought deliverance. Isn't it wonderful that we can come back to God? Isn't it wonderful that God is there listening to us? Isn't it wonderful that we can say, Lord, I goofed, I messed up, I made a mistake, please forgive me. Boom. And we make a 180-degree turn, we turn our back to the sin, and we go with God, things go good. Here it is again, sin, servitude, supplication, and salvation, over and over for 300 years. Sin, servitude, supplication, and salvation. And I think I put that one in here just to So you could have one, two, yeah, there it is right there. So when you see that, and you're reading through the book, make notes on these papers. You can do your shopping list on the back if you want, but on the front here, write down the verses. Yeah, they're crying out for God. They're crying out to God. Supplication, they're supplicating. Write down the verses. Chapter 3, verse so-and-so, chapter 6, so-and-so, chapter 9, so-and-so, and you're going to be blessed by that, of course. Here's another one, Judges. The book of Judges has a history and a religious purpose. There's a purpose for that. There's a purpose for this book. This is why Timothy says all scripture, and that's why we are to read it, we are to study it, even though I've sort of put it in the background the last maybe 10 or 15 years. I haven't really got into it. But there's so much things. As it gives us a glimpse of Israel's history from the death of Joshua to the beginning of the monarchy, a period of significant transition. The religious purpose of Judges is to underscore God's discipline of the Israelites when their hearts turn to other gods. And when we turn to other gods, oh, but Ron, you're going to say, leave me alone. I don't have any gods in my house. I don't have little images in my house that I bow down like the children of Israel were doing. But anything that puts its way in between you and God is an idol. Sports, I love sports. You're watching the women soccer World Cup. Oh, so exciting. But I don't put it in front of God. Did you see that Argentina won the World Cup? Yeah, we won it. Yeah. Where's my Brazilian friend back there? She's not even laughing. Oh, she's got a mask on. I can't see if she's laughing or not. But you know what I'm saying. I'm giving you an example that is practical. Sports, business, work, anything that gets between you and God is an idol. And we are not to have idols in our life. And the children of Israel weren't to have idols, but they actually had idols. They actually statues. And it talks about them. The book of Judges, faithful and unfaithful. That's what it's all about. The Israelites often lost their single-minded devotion to Yahweh. Even so, the Lord's discipline was always lined with grace. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon. We can have pardon because of the grace of God. God loves you. God loved the children of Israel, and his discipline was not there just for discipline, it was to show his grace. Every time the Israelites repented of sin, God sent judges to rescue them from their oppressors. And these judges remind us of the faithfulness of God. And as you study Judges, as you go verse by verse, chapter by chapter, it's going to be so exciting that you see how God comes in and he brings salvation to the people. And that's what we mustn't forget. Another reason I like this book so much, and thank you for allowing me to open it. I mean, I can remember when I was in Sunday school. Stories of Deborah, Samson, remember that? I mean, I have a body like Samson myself. You know, no. But you know what I mean? I remember all these. You know, I remember this one. Who can tell me what that is? Ooh. In Judges, a woman put this in the head there's just so many stories that we used to have in Sunday school. And you can see on the bottom there's some of the judges. Tola. You can see them and the stories of them. Gideon, I preached on that quite recently, how Gideon started so well. Gideon did exactly what God wanted him to do. And he delivered the children of Israel from the Philistines, 300 men. And then he asked for all the gold. I mean, I'm not going to steal the story, but I mean, it's exciting. Samson, his life, Samson and Delilah. And if you're left-handed, there was a lot of left-handers in here too. Ehud is a left-handed, and then it talks about how many hundred other were in battle and left-handed people. I mean, so practical, so up-to-date, so relevant for us today. And I don't get into it enough where I should have, but I'm glad I've been able to. Application. Judges, broken people, faithful God. That's what it's all about. It's about you and I. And I can't put my finger against them, the Israelites, because I got to think of my own life. The spiritual compromise of God's people is so relevant and so involved in this whole book. Time and time again, the Israelites were led away by their ungodly neighbors. And time again, God allowed their enemies to afflict them, to get them to come back to him. God allowed their enemies to afflict them, to bring them back to himself. But despite the infidelity of the Israelites, God was always there with a message of hope. There's a message of hope. I'm anxious to get into it a little bit more myself, to study, maybe do two or three sermonettes on it and see what I can find God has for me. Pray for me as I get into the book and study the book and share the book with other people. A message of hope emerges. That is so wonderful. Because today, is there any hope? I mean, you got climate change, you've got, I won't go in half of the things that are going on in this world. I mean, we're in dire need of coming back to God. This world is going down. And I'm not negative. I'm a positive person. And this is a great book to share with people. To share with them how that God used Gideon, and then how Gideon went away, and then how God can bring us back. Rebellion against God. Well, these are the two main truths in the book of Judges. First, rebellion against God always leads to disaster. Every time we turn our back to God, it's going to be a disaster in your life and in my life. And I do turn my back. I always enjoy Monday. People say to me, well, Ron, what did you do all week? What did you do on Sunday? And I say, well, I preached. Right there, boom, a pared, a wall, a big wall between. They don't want to hear about me preaching. They want to know what I did. I preached. And then I turn, I say, you know something, though? It's so much easier to preach it than to practice it. Wow, is that right? Which is true. So what I'm doing now is not preaching it. I'm just sharing what it's in the Word of God. Now God's going to use the Holy Spirit to speak to you through this book, not me. And I'm praying that you will be blessed and that you'll get involved and help and encourage and maybe even talk to the powers to be and say, well, maybe you'd like to give a message on Gideon or Deborah or Samson. There's so much we can do. There's no spiritual defeat or bankruptcy for a Christian who comes back to God. Jesus is there saying, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And that's for Christians too. Because I goof and I go back to God and I tell him, only God's love of discipline can bring us back to him. Confess our sins. We have to own our own sin. We have to realize that we are sinners. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We've got to realize that. Now, if this whole judge thing of the people of God, and you're not a person that has really put your faith and trust in God, you can do that. It's just confession of sin. God can restore you back to a relationship with his Father through Jesus. Let me repeat that. You can have a personal relationship with the Creator of this earth, God Almighty, through his Son, As I said, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, but the gift of God is eternal life. How? Through Jesus Christ our Lord. So that's the exciting thing about it. You can discover happiness and joy and peace by confessing your sins and turning your back on them sins. That's why we have a community of Christians here to help one another, encourage one another, stimulate one another. And the children of Israel did not always do that. Own our sins by taking personal responsibilities for them. Oh, but Ron, it's not my fault. I'm a sinner because Adam sinned. Yeah, but by one man, sin came into the world, but by one man, we can be justified. We can be cleansed. We can start over again and have a relationship with God. Let's look at, you won't believe how practical and up-to-date Judges is. Here are a few practical questions from reading and studying chapter 1, for instance. This is only the first chapter. Judah asked the Simeonites to help them. Application. How might receiving assistance from other fellow Christians strengthen our faith and obedience to God? Somebody asked you to help. Help me. Will you please help me? And you help that person. You will be blessed. You will be blessed. I mean, there's an application in the first chapter, because when Simeonites helped Judah to get back the land, they were blessed. And that's why it can be blessed. Look, when Caleb was conquering Debir, we are called by God to take God at his word and not be afraid to act on his promises. If we have a need, God wants us to humbly ask him to fill that need. I mean, there's an application, application after application after application. Sometimes it's hard to interpret the word of God, but we can apply it. These are only in the first chapter and the only first few verses. So when somebody asks you to do something, do it, and you're going to be a blessed. You're obeying God. And when God tells you to do something, do it. Like Gideon, when God called Gideon to fight, Gideon said, oh no, I can't do it. My tribe's the smallest tribe. I can't, I'm useless. I'm inutile. I'm useless. I'm not useful. And God says, when I'm with you, you're useful. And that goes for all of us. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. And so can you. I can't do it on my own. But through Christ, if he calls me to do it, he'll give me the strength to do it. And you can take that. There are times in all our lives when, like the chariots of the Canaanites, obstacles arise that cause us to compromise our obedience to God. What kind of obstacles to our faith and obedience do we face today? See, they were so afraid of all of these chariots. They were metal shit chariots. They were metal, and they were scared of it. But God said, you're going to win the battle. And can't we apply that to our life? God tells us to do something. Do it. No ifs about it. Do it. And he's going to be with you. The children of Israel didn't always do that. When God told them to do something, oh no, we can't do it. We got to go to another king and ask that king to help us. And that king will help us, but we can't help them. I mean, come on now. Let's take the word of God at the word of God. While using spies to survey their military tactics to advance, the tribe of Joseph stopped the man who was leaving Bethel. The man realized he would be better off helping the Israelites, so he showed them the entrance to Bethel. They in turn showed mercy to him and his family by not killing them when the armies of Joseph massacred the rest of Bethel's inhabitants. How can we show mercy to those who assist us in our Christian growth? See what I mean? The application? We can apply these things to our life, and we can, these are written for us for 2023. Judges. another chart that will help you. And notice we got up there Gideon and Samson. The whole story of Samson is so interesting, and it's certainly going to be a blessing to you. I trust that this little outline will help you to get into the book. I think that's the most important thing. I hope this will encourage you to get into the book and to study the book and to use the book and apply it to your life. If I were you, I'd be looking forward to the 27th. And if I were you, I would study from now to the 27th. Go on holidays. I'm going on holidays. But when I'm up there, I'm going to be looking at it. I'm going to be studying it. And I hope God will bless you as you get into Judges. And I hope I did whet your appetite and that you'll be challenged. And I don't forget that story. It's gory. It's ugly. But it's reality. It's up to date. God works through his word. Father God, we thank you once again for Judges. We thank you that Parkcrest is going to get into it in depth. We just pray, Heavenly Father, for those that will be speaking. We pray, Lord, even now that you'll be preparing their hearts, Heavenly Father. I pray, Heavenly Father, that they'll be looking, studying, reading, listening. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that we will grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ through studying this book, even though it is kind of gory, even though it is things we don't understand, even though there's a lot of killing and wars. And we pray, Lord, that you'll help us to understand. Guide us, direct us, and help us, and we'll give you all the praise and glory that you deserve. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
All right, if we could just... we'll just close this time together. We'll stand and sing one more song together.